if you were born overseas or speak another language, you'll expect to have to offer up that information when you go to get your COVID-19 vaccine. Under a government plan, a person's country of birth and languages spoken will soon be recorded when they get the COVID-19 jab or test positive for the virus. It's all part of a push to help the government identify whether specific communities are actually avoiding the vaccine. But could it have a detrimental impact, maybe scaring communities away or off the vaccine? Eddie Mikalev is the Ethnic Communities Council of Victoria representative. He joins us this morning. Eddie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Glenn.
What do you make of this proposal?
Look, in principle, I think I have sympathy with what the government's trying to do. But as you point out, some communities may be, apprehensive about the way this information is to be used and collated, and will it have a detrimental effect on their reputation within the communities themselves. In the past, some sections of the media have singled out multicultural communities in relation to COVID-19 hotspots and issues. So it's a matter of building trust and getting the correct information out to cut across the potential for mischievous input into their sphere of influence, and so that they're able to make a proper qualified response.
So they fear they might be demonised a little. There's been examples, I guess, a little bit of this in the US, in New York State, I think, where Orthodox Jewish community was very reluctant to take part in some of these programs.
Well, I don't like to name Sky News, but in the early days, some of their language wasn't most unhelpful and did a lot of damage. I think even though they later apologised, the damage can be done to that effect. I note the outbursts of racism, which is the byproduct of some of these misreporting and singling out multicultural communities. So that's all got to be taken into account.
Do you think that really could have the effect of scaring some communities away from actually participating in this program?
Well, it has the potential to do it, Glenn, but I think we also have the potential to cut across that by getting multicultural leaders, by getting information that's out that's culturally sensitive and culturally appropriate. I mean, they're even talking about presenting the vaccine in mosques and in churches and things like that. And yesterday's example of a bipartisan approach to the vaccination. Look, I think we're lucky in Australia. We have a pretty sensible approach to these issues. And I think we have the capacity to get on top of it. Although we have to be mindful of the fact that mischief can be created and create some concern with some communities.
As I understand it, the authorities or the governments haven't made it clear whether this information would ever be made public. Should they give a hard and fast indication that it won't?
Well, look, I'll put it this way, Glenn. Whatever the government's done, whatever the community does, they can always do it better. And I don't think we should rest on the laurels but because the government says it's okay, it has to be proved to be okay. And we have to reassure the communities that it is okay and that it has beneficial benefits to the community by being vaccinated. And it's a way to get on top of this virus. Look, I'm a great believer in the hope of multicultural communities being part of the solution, not the problem.
Do you think there is that much vaccine hesitancy among some ethnic and multicultural communities here?
Glenn, there is some hesitancy right across the board. The multicultural communities are no different to other communities, and some will have hesitancy and some will take it on board. I mean, the older cohort of mainstream Australians who I mix with all have some hesitancy. But I think we have the capacity to get on top of it. Once it's rolled out and people start to take it, and we see leaders, church leaders, all the people taking it, like Mel Mitchell, an old person who I had a lot to do with many years ago, taking it on, I think they lead by example, and I think we've got the capacity to get on top of the nonsense that's been potentially spread about.
And you think that sort of thing and the government messaging to those communities has improved a bit since the outbreak of the pandemic?
It certainly has. The record has been very critical of federal and state governments and health departments in the early days for not taking on board the expertise, the community involvement of multicultural community leaders. I also sit on the multi-faith advisory group. Look, it has been terrific the way the message has been consolidated and passed on to governments and government departments over the last 3 or 4 months. So it's way ahead of what was there in the early days. And that nonsense with the lockdown and with the towers would not have happened had been talking to multicultural community leaders in the early days. So they're the sort of issues that can get out of hand and can do a lot of damage if they're not responded to.
Let's hope they're addressed. Eddie McAuliffe, thank you very much, from the Ethnic Communities Council of Victoria.